This is a Bible Answers program in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program is The Witch of Endor. If you would like a free copy of the Frank and Earnest magazine, send your request to the address which will be given at the close of the program. One of the most interesting stories of the Bible is the one which relates to the effort of King Saul of Israel to communicate with the prophet Samuel who had died. He used the witch of Endor as a go-between, and she claimed that she saw and heard Samuel. But first, this program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of The Dawn, the Frank and Ernest magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study classes and the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Frank, may I ask you the question, was she correct in claiming that she saw and heard the dead Samuel?
Russell, we hear much these days about spiritualism, so you have introduced a timely subject for our discussion as to the Bible's view of this topic.
For the benefit of our listeners, the account of King Saul and the Witch of Endor is found in the first book of Samuel, 28th chapter. King Saul, you remember, had been rejected by the Lord and was being defeated in battle. He became very much alarmed, so he instructed his servants to find a witch or sorceress with the hope that she could make contact with the prophet Samuel who had died. They did this, and the witch or medium told King Saul that she saw Samuel, and King Saul heard a voice which he thought he identified as Samuel's. Now, Frank, doesn't that prove that the dead can talk with the living?
No, it does not, especially when we take all the circumstances into consideration. You see, in going to the witch of Endor to have her make contact with Samuel, King Saul was disobeying God's law, a law, as a matter of fact, which he himself very strenuously enforced. He had issued orders that all witches be banished from the land.
But King Saul heard Samuel talking, and according to the full account, Samuel had a forecast of what would happen to Saul. He told this king, in effect, that he would die the next day.
Russell, while the Bible does record this unusual incident, it does so without explaining just what was involved. The Bible clearly teaches that the dead are dead and remain so until the resurrection. This being true, it is obvious that the witch deceived King Saul, who should have known better. Samuel did not actually talk to him at all. This becomes even more apparent when we take all the circumstances into consideration. King Saul had tried to obtain a message from the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him, nor would God permit his prophets to help him. Samuel, while living, was one of God's faithful prophets, and had he been alive at this time, would certainly not have gone against the Lord by communicating with King Saul when none of the other prophets would. It is most unreasonable to suppose that after death he would become disobedient to God and would do that which he would not do when he was alive.
Say, that is a very good point, sure enough. Thank you. Just the same, however, this, as you suggest, alleged Samuel made a correct forecast as to coming events in the life of King Saul, did he not?
Not too accurate, Russell. The voice that King Saul heard forecast his death the next day, but it was actually several days thereafter before he was killed. And the truth King Saul did learn was not too difficult to ascertain. Saul himself knew what would probably happen to him even before he inquired of the witch.
Is it your thought, then, that the woman faked the whole thing, as a magician might do today?
No, but to understand what really did happen, we must believe what the Bible says about angels. According to the Bible, there are planes of life higher than the human, not the departed spirits of the dead, but separate orders of creation. These spirit creatures, some of which the Bible calls angels, are very real beings, but they are invisible to man. The Old Testament indicates that occasionally one or more of these would materialize and appear in human form. Three of them, for example, appeared to Abraham and told him of the impending destruction of Sodom.
But what does all that have to do with the witch or spirit medium who talked to King Saul?
Well, just this. The Bible reveals that the name of one of these created beings, spirit beings, was Lucifer, and that he rebelled against the Creator, and that many others of the angels later joined him in the rebellion. Hence, Jesus speaks of the devil and his angels.
But still, I don't understand where the witch of Endor and the prophet Samuel come into the picture.
Well, as you will remember, when the fallen Lucifer or Satan tempted Mother Eve, he assured her that she would not die. God had said that if Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, he would die. But Satan said, "Thou shalt not surely die." Man has continued to die in spite of the assurances by Satan that he would not. Hence, the devil has resorted to every possible device in order to convince the people that he really told the truth, that what we call death is in reality but a gateway into another phase of life. One of Satan's methods in this connection is to make people believe they can talk with the dead.
But, Frank, what method did he use to deceive so many? How could that be done?
The matter is very simple. Satan and the fallen angels are able to read the human mind. There they see mirrored the images of our beloved dead. They know from what is in our minds exactly the sort of message to send in order to convince us that we are actually talking with our dead friends or relatives. It was so in the case of King Saul.
It just occurred to me, Frank, that some time ago you gave me a book entitled Spiritualism. Does this book discuss the subject of the fallen angels and how they make contact with humanity to deceive the people?
Yes, it does, and it is very remarkable to learn from the Bible the many deceitful ways in which Satan and his fallen angels have appeared as true light-bearers, yet in reality they have been messengers of darkness and error.
Well, that is something to think about, I will admit. And as far as I'm concerned, I propose to accept the testimony of God's Word, which says that the wages of sin is death. And the Bible also says that the dead know not anything. But, Frank, how did these impersonators of the dead get the name of fallen angels?
The Bible answers that question very definitely. If you will look up the word angel and also the word spirit in your Bible concordance, you can readily find the various passages bearing on the subject. But remember that the Bible speaks about evil angels as well as good angels. It shows that evil angels often masquerade as good angels, as angels of light, when in fact They are Satan's emissaries of darkness.
Well, I certainly will study the subject, and I probably will have some more questions for you later. You know, Frank, I'm really earnest about this, and we should all want to be very sure that we have the truth on this subject.
Russell, if you really want to go into this subject thoroughly, I would suggest that you study that book you mentioned a few moments ago, the one entitled Spiritualism. It gives you all the essential Bible facts bearing on the activity of the fallen angels and their various methods of deceit. So, as they have been practiced under the direction of the master deceiver, Satan.
A very good suggestion, and I'll follow it, Frank.
And, Russell, there's nothing more soul-satisfying than the truth of the Bible because it gives one a definite hope, something more than platitudes and confusing mysteries. The Bible shows that just as the whole world of mankind literally dies in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. Some will be raised to live and reign with Christ. The others will be awakened to live on the earth and will then be given the opportunity of living forever in an earthly paradise, which will be the everlasting home of the restored human race. That is a real prospect, isn't it? Then all will see their loved ones and enjoy fellowship with them, not in seance chambers, but in a normal way, because they will have been resurrected and will be living again as normal human beings. This great truth of the Bible is clearly set forth in the book entitled Spiritualism, which Russell will say more about.
Thank you, Frank. Friends, I'm glad indeed to explain a bit more about the book Spiritualism. There is probably no greater desire in the heart of any person who has lost a loved one in death than to be fully assured of just what the condition of that deceased friend might be. Hence the great urge on the part of millions to try to make contact with them. And you will learn these facts and will be glad for them by reading Spiritualism. Is it possible for the living to talk with the dead? And the Bible furnishes the answer to this question and many more. Today's gift book, Spiritualism, presents these scriptural facts in a manner entirely satisfactory to every reasoning mind. Send now for your copy. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. I repeat the address. It is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the book Spiritism, and it will be mailed to you free, without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. This program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and the Friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Ask your friends to listen, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.